Open your Bibles to Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, as I looked at the video clips a few minutes ago and received a couple of messages from Pastor Chappell, one yesterday and one today, I'm a little bit envious of them. And when you think about the type of thing that they're doing there in Singapore, it's just something that I believe God's going to bless in a wonderful way. There are going to be literally hundreds of national pastors from third world countries that could not pay their own way, and their provision had been made possible by some other people and so forth. But they've gotten them there, and what Pastor Chappell and others will be doing is preaching and teaching to them. And it is literally no limit to how much God may use them in order to help these young pastors as they go back to their various countries and proclaim the gospel. Since our church gives something like $1 million a year for the last 3 or 4 years, this is a wonderful investment for us to make in the lives of these national pastors. I believe Brother Guy is with him, Brother Galdem has. Brother Rosen and so forth, and from our church, and then you saw our missionaries, and it's just a wonderful thing that is happening there. And not only that, but you think about tonight, Dr. Getch, the Executive Vice President of West Coast Baptist College, is in Romania with one of our missionaries, Brother Tim Tyler, there in Timișoara, and we have a wonderful representation all over the world tonight. So for the few of us that are left here, praise the Lord. Amen. And we're certainly grateful to be here. Tonight I'd like to talk to you on the subject of I will build our missionaries through prayer. I will build our missionaries through prayer. And I cannot help but think, since we are giving through faith promise all of the money that we're giving and supporting something like 250 missionaries, and I've said this many, many times, that in reality, I believe that we do missionaries an injustice if we send them to the mission field, if we support them financially, but we do not support them through our prayers. And we'll be saying more about that. But listen to the Apostle Paul as he urges a church to pray for him. Colossians chapter 4. And beginning with verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Dear Lord, I pray you'll bless the reading of your word tonight. And I pray that you'll bless me as I try to help your people to be more earnest, more consistent, more practical in their praying for our missionaries. And Lord, if missionaries need anything in the world, and I believe more than anything in the world that they would need, it is the prayers of God's people. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd bless us tonight. Help us to put this on our heart. And daily to take these missionaries to the throne of grace. I pray you'd bless our gathering tonight. Thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me share with you a story that I heard many, many years ago, and it's been a great blessing to me. A missionary on furlough told this true story while visiting one of his supporting churches in Michigan. While serving at a small field hospital in Africa, every 2 weeks I traveled by bicycle through the jungle to a nearby city for supplies. This was a journey of 2 days and required camping overnight at halfway point. On one of these journeys, I arrived in the city where I planned to collect money from a bank, purchase medicine and supplies, and then began my 2-day journey back to the field hospital. Upon arrival in the city, I observed 2 men fighting. One of them had been severely injured. I treated him for his injuries and at the same time talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I then traveled 2 days, camping overnight, and arrived home without incident. 2 weeks later, I repeated my journey. Upon arriving in the city, I was approached by the young man I had treated. He told me that he had known I carried money and medicine. He said, "Some friends and I followed you into the jungle, knowing you would camp overnight. We planned to kill you and to take your money and your drugs. But just as we were about to move into the camp, we saw that you were surrounded by 26 armed guards." At this, I laughed and said, "I was certainly all alone in that jungle campsite." The young man pressed to the point, however. He said, "No, sir. I was not the only person to see the guards. My 5 friends also saw them, and we all counted them. It was because of these guards that we are afraid and left you alone." At this point in the sermon, one of the men in the Michigan congregation jumped to his feet and interrupted the missionary and asked if he could tell him the exact day that this happened. The missionary told the congregation the date, and the man who interrupted him told this story. "On the night of your incident in Africa, it was morning here. I was doing various things, and I was about to do some other thing, go to the city and so forth, and all of a sudden, I felt an urge to pray for you. In fact, the urge of the Lord was so strong, I called several men in the church to meet with me here in the sanctuary to pray for you. Would all of those men who met with me on that day stand up?" The men who had met together to pray that day stood. The missionary wasn't concerned about who they were. He was busy counting how many men he saw there. There were 26 men who stood to their feet. He said, that's a hard story to believe. Okay, read 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay? Elisha prayed, okay? And lo and behold, they looked around and there were horses and chariots of fire all around them. The necessity of praying for missionaries. Let me give you another situation. This is a personal one, okay? At the World Mission Center at BIMI, every morning at 8:30, the entire staff has a prayer meeting. And we pray for people that have asked us to pray for them, but we also pray for 3 missionaries every day. We pray for a Bible college every day, and we pray for another mission organization every day. Several years ago, and by the way, when I was the director of the mission, I would send a card to each of those missionaries we prayed for. In other words, if today we prayed for instance, Tim Tyler, I would write and say, "Brother Tyler, today at the home office, we prayed for you." And they would get those cards. We prayed one day, and one of the missionaries was John and Barbara Owens. And we prayed for the Owens. About 3 weeks later, I got a letter from Brother John Owens. And Brother Owen said, "Brother Sis, let me tell you a story." And at that time, they were living outside of the city of Lae. And he said, Barbara and the girls had gone into Lae to purchase some materials. And on the way back, they were crowded off of the road and got to the very brink. And had they gone over that, it would have been several hundred feet down. And he said, miraculously, they stopped just a few feet short of that brink. And he said, a few days after that happened, I got this letter. "Today, we prayed for you." And he said, it was the very day of that incident. By the way, do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep? What do? Fuss and fume and fret? Okay. May not be a good thing to say, "Now, Lord, why did I wake up? Is there somebody I need to pray for?" And every Wednesday night, you get a list of all of the missionaries that are supported by our church, and we'll talk more about that list in a few minutes, okay? But tonight, let's just think about the necessity of praying for missionaries. Or in essence, how should I pray for missionaries? I love this statement. I heard it years ago, but I'm not even sure where it came from. I've used it so many times, I just should call it mine now, okay? But I don't have many original thoughts. But it's a good statement, okay? There are a lot of places that missionaries cannot get paid out of. But there are no places that they cannot get prayed out of. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. In fact, 2,000 years later, we are still looking at his inspired writings about missions to give us guidance. He was a very powerful man. He was a brilliant man. He was a man of great courage. However, he realized that he needed the prayers of God's people. In the text that we've read tonight, he said, notice, with all praying also for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he closes that by saying, brethren, pray for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Think about this now. This great missionary, the Apostle Paul, great intellect, great powerful man, and yet time after time after time, as he was writing to churches, he would encourage them to pray for us. Notice, he didn't just say, pray for me, because Paul always had somebody else working with him. It might have been Barnabas. It might have been Silas. It may have been Timothy. It may have been the physician Luke, and different ones and so forth. But he's also always saying, pray for us, pray for us. And every time we have a missionary come through here, they always have prayer cards, okay? I've often thought, rather than calling them prayer cards, we probably should call them prayer reminders, because cards can't pray, okay? People pray, all right? But, and by the way, they do not hand them out just to show you how good looking they are, because most missionaries are not that good looking, okay? Just a fact, okay? That's not being humble, it's just stating a fact, okay? But they pass them out and they give them to us so that we would remember to pray for them. And just as the Apostle Paul urged the Christians in various places to pray for himself and pray for the team and so forth, the missionaries are asking us to pray for them, to pray for them. So let me give you just two or three simple things. Number one, pray for their pre-field ministry. Pray for their pre-field ministry. Now, what do you mean by this? I mean, from the time that somebody may realize that God wants them on the mission field until they arrive on the mission field. And sometimes that may be many, many years. And one of the first things we should think about this evening while we're thinking about praying for missionaries is that we should remember the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray for laborers. Notice, if you would, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, and by the way, if you read all of chapter 9, Jesus had ministered to all kinds of people. And then the Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he saw the demon-possessed, he saw the lost people, he saw the people that were physically impaired and so on and so forth, all kind of people he had dealt with that day. The Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And by the way, in comparison with the harvest of that day and the harvest that you and I have today, that was a very scant harvest. When Jesus mentioned the multitudes of his day, when he lived on the face of the earth, there were approximately 250 million people in the entire world. That's fewer than are in the United States of America now. Tonight, we find ourselves in the midst of 7.3 billion people. And so when the Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous, I wonder what he would say today. Certainly the harvest is plenteous. And then he said, but the laborers are few. And comparatively speaking, probably the laborers are even fewer today than they were when Jesus made this statement. What's the answer for the needs of the world? What is the answer for all of the unevangelized fields of the world? And this is what Jesus said. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So one thing for sure that every one of us should pray for in reality on a daily basis is that the Lord would provide laborers for the great harvest fields of the world. Laborers. By the way, I do not know how many times I have heard the testimony of someone who got a burden for a certain field. Might have been China, could have been Japan, could have been Romania, could have been Ukraine, could have been anywhere. But they would get a real burden for a certain field, and they would begin to pray for that field. And the first thing you know, God would begin to deal with their heart about going to that field. And by the way, if we would not be willing to go ourselves, if we would not be willing for our children to go, if we would not be willing for our grandchildren to go, then our prayers are not going to be very effective, are they? But when we pray for laborers, we should be willing to pray, dear Lord, if you would like, send me. If you would like, send my children. If you'd like, send my grandchildren, and so forth. So we need to pray for laborers. Then we need to pray for guidance for those whom God has called. We have in our Bible college probably 75 to 100 young people that would testify tonight, I have been called to missions. God has called me to be a missionary. And for those people, you and I that are members here at Lancaster Baptist Church, we need to begin to pray even now that they would have guidance. For instance, that they would have guidance as to where they were to go. The fields are white. And so many times people will come to me and they'll say, Brother Sis, what is the most needy mission field in the whole world? And I will reply, the last one I visited. It's very difficult to decide what is the most needed mission field in the world. The fields are white. The world is waiting for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. And we need to pray that they would know where to go. It is very important that they know where to go. You remember on Paul's second missionary journey, he was planning to go over into Asia, and the Holy Spirit of God forbade him. Then he said, Bithynia, but God would not let him go there. And finally they waited, and as they waited, at night Paul saw a vision. And in the vision, he heard a man saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the very next verse said, assuredly that God was leading them, they departed from Macedonia. And when they got there, they found a woman that needed to get saved. They found a demon-possessed girl. They found a prison keeper in Philippi. And a great church was established in Philippi. Churches were established in Thessalonica and other places. In other words, we need to pray that God would give guidance to our missionary. Number three, we need to pray for their sending church, that they would have guidance in choosing a good sending church. And by the way, mission organizations do not send missionaries. Churches send missionaries, okay? Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch sent them out. They prayed for them. They helped them in various ways and so forth. And so we need to pray that the missionaries would choose the right church to be their sending church. And then we need to pray that God would lead them to the proper mission organization, a mission organization that is like-minded to them and to their home church and so forth. And then one of the things that we need to pray for missionaries, and we have several missionaries that we're supporting now that are on what we call deputation. And deputation is a time when the missionaries travel from church to church. And even being able to get into a church is a big job. We need to pray that God would give them favor in the heart and in the sight of the pastors they call, that they could have meetings and so forth, and that they would have safety as they travel in deputation. The average missionary today will travel somewhere between 100 and 150,000 miles during their deputation ministry. They'll visit something like 100 churches. By the way, we need to pray for their family while they're traveling, okay? Can you imagine every day a different church, every day a different place and so forth? And particularly if they have children, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God would give them favor in the churches where they are, and that they would have the financial and the prayer support that they need to get to the mission field. So before the missionary goes to the mission field, and we have several on deputation that we're supporting now, we have several that are praying about a mission organization. They're praying about what should be their sending church, and we should pray with them. And then we need to pray for their departure preparation. Perhaps one of the most difficult things for the missionary is when you get within a few days of leaving for the mission field, and you go back to your home place, and you meet with your mother and your dad and your grandparents or whatever and so forth. And this can be a very trying and a very emotional filled time. And we need to pray for them. For instance, many missionaries, when they say goodbye to their mother and dad, they'll never see them again. When the grandchildren see the grandparents, there's a chance that they would never see them again, and they are leaving everybody that they know. And that's a very trying time. It's a good time to pray for them. I'll never forget in 1965, in February, when Virginia, myself, Renee, and Tim boarded a Northwest Orient plane in Chicago, going to Portland and then to Alaska and then on to Japan. And none of us had ever been on a commercial flight before. And it is a very trying time. Back in those days, a lot of people from the churches would go to the airport and see the people off. Thank God they quit doing that, okay? That makes it even more difficult. So there was probably 75 to 100 people from our church and other churches in the Chicago area that had met there at O'Hara Field to see us off. And I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, okay? But when we boarded that plane after saying goodbye to our parents, our friends, and so on and so forth, and when they shut that door, it was sort of like closing the casket on a loved one, okay? I mean, everybody that you know are on that side of that door, and now you're in that plane, and you're going to a place that you have never been before. You think missionaries don't need prayer then? We'd never been on a commercial flight, and every time we hit an air bump, and that plane would, you know, do a little run, I was just sure, we're going down. We'll never get to Japan. Okay. Now I can sleep through those air bumps. It's no problem, amen. After 3 million miles, that's not a problem, okay? But we need to pray for the departure time. Then pray when they arrive on the field. Pray when they arrive on the field. And you say, well, brother, I don't know all these things. Just a minute, I'm going to give you maybe a little plan that you might like to use to pray for missionaries, okay? But just think about it. When the missionary arrives on the field, think about all the things that happen. Number one, we need to pray for their housing. In most mission fields, it is not easy to find a proper house for a missionary family. And by the way, when the missionaries get to the mission field, and this is one of the things that I teach our missions in candidate school and so our missionaries and so forth, is when you get to the mission field, then make that place your home. For instance, when we were in Japan, we did not refer to Harvey, Illinois as a home. home was then in Japan. That's where we were. And that's the way it ought to be. But in order for that to happen, there needs to be proper housing and so forth. And some missionaries have the privilege of somebody else finding it for them before they get there, but that does not happen to most of them. And then one of the things that we really need to pray for missionaries for is when they enter language school. Once the missionary gets to the mission field, then he has to choose, where am I going to study language? And this can be one of the most discouraging and depressing times that a missionary ever had. I've told you many, many times about the first time I saw a Japanese Bible and there was nothing in it that looked like a word, okay? It looked like a chicken's had been out in a muddy field, put all the pages together, would have made as much sense. And my first thought was, hey, I'm from Kentucky. We have a hard time with English. I'm supposed to learn a language like this, okay? And I got to the mission field, and really I was petrified to think I had to try to learn Japanese. And about 6 weeks into the Japanese language study, all of a sudden I realized that all of my fears were justified, okay? It was as difficult, or maybe more difficult, than I ever dreamed it was. And you know, there comes a time in the life of every missionary when they probably think, I'll never learn this language and so forth. Let me give you three words to pray for missionaries while they're in language school. Number one, pray for persistence. In other words, there'll be times when it's just like, you know, you sometimes in language study, you make some progress, and then you just hit a wall, and it looks like you cannot get past that wall and so forth. But then even when you come those times, you just have to continually be persistent. Yesterday in Introduction to Missions, we had Brother Eddie Ray, a missionary to China, and he told us how for the first year in China that he studied 4 hours with a teacher and 6 hours apart from that. And the very first year he was in China, that he studied Chinese for an average of 10 hours every day. My dear friend, that takes persistence, amen. Thank God, God has blessed his effort, and he speaks Chinese well, I guess. I don't know, okay? But they say he does anyway. He's done a great work. God has used him in a wonderful way. But pray for persistence, and then pray for patience. For patience, okay? For instance, every missionary, when they begin to study the language, they make all kind of horrible mistakes. And I can remember one of the stories that our teacher told us, or one of the things that she said. And she said, even monkeys sometimes make mistakes. Sometimes monkeys fall. So go ahead, make mistakes, but use the language you have. So pray for patience. And then pray that they will prayerfully study the language. And I believe from the depth of my heart, aside from prayer, I would have never learned Japanese well enough to teach and to preach and so forth in the Japanese language. Pray for the language study. Then pray for their cultural adaptation. Can you imagine going from the culture that you have lived in all of your life, and now you are going to another place where everything is totally different? Our first night when we landed in Japan, we were scared to death. We didn't have the proper papers to get through customs and all that and so forth. We did, but we were scared anyway, okay? And we got off the plane, and people were hurrying and scurrying, and they were making sounds that came out of their mouth that I had absolutely no idea what they were saying. And it was a very frustrating thing. The only good thought that I had after landing in Japan that night was I looked around, and I was the tallest man there. Okay, now I've always been short, but other than that one good feeling, everything else was bad. And we finally got in a taxi cab, and the taxi cab driver was driving on the wrong side of the road. Fortunately, everybody else was too. Okay, but it's an odd feeling, you know. And I remember going to bed, sleeping a couple of hours, getting up, walking around the streets of Tokyo and just thinking, wow, everything is so different, you know. Now, some things are not bad. Valentine's Day, the ladies buy candy for the men. The ladies open the car door for the men. Virginia never did adjust real well, okay? I tried to get her to, okay? I can still hear my neighbor blowing his horn and the wife coming out and opening the gate and then opening the car door for him and so forth. But so many things are totally different. Some things I could not say from the pulpit that was very, very difficult to get used to, okay? So pray for their cultural identity. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And really, this is the will to pray that every missionary could be like this, okay? Listen as Paul makes this statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'd like to turn your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, now watch this, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Under the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now listen to what Paul said. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be to partakers thereof with you. You know what Paul was saying? As much as I possibly can, without violating a biblical principle, I try to be like the people that I am with. That's cultural adaptation. Now, we use a word in missiology and so forth called cultural shock. I heard a young preacher one time preaching about the folly of missionary shock. And he said, there's no such thing. And I thought, you've never been to the mission field. He had. He stayed 5 days, okay? You don't get culture shock in 5 days. A few years, and I'll guarantee you, every missionary that's ever been to the mission field, you are totally shocked by something. So pray that they would adapt well. And then pray for the missionary's health. I hope after the meeting tonight that you'll take just a minute, and I'm going to give you a minute while we pray, and maybe turn to the on the prayer page and the missionary, and I hope that every one of you will just take a couple of missionaries and mark their names and spend some time tonight in praying for them. But one of the major reasons for missionaries leaving the mission field is the matter of health. So pray for the health of the missionaries. And sometimes it is nearly impossible for missionaries to live on the same level that the people they're ministering to live and so forth. They are adapted to that. They've done that all their life. The missionaries are different and so forth. So pray for wisdom and so forth. And many missionaries serve in fields where they would have to go several miles, maybe hundreds of miles, before they could find a doctor or a hospital or anything of that nature. Then in closing, let me mention real quickly, okay? Pray for the ministry on the field. Pray for their ministry on the field. And by the way, this is the reason missionaries go to the mission field. The culture shock, the language study, the cultural adaptation, all of those things and so forth, those are important things. But all of those are done in order to do the ministry that God has sent them to do. I want you to turn your Bibles real quickly to the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. The 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and all I have time to do is just read it. But I want you to notice what we should pray, how that we should pray for our missionaries that are on the field tonight. And in a minute, when you look at your prayer list, you'll find that most of the missionaries that are listed there are already on the field and so forth. This is at the end of the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And notice as he sums up what they had done during these three-year period, okay? And when they had preached the gospel, notice that, okay? When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many and had, they returned again into Lystra, into Iconium, into Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And I love verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Let me give you three great things that we need to pray for our missionaries. Number one, pray that they would evangelize the lost. I mean, after all, that's what they're there for, okay? And I often tell missionaries, nobody gets saved by osmosis, amen? Nobody is going to get saved just because the missionary happens to be there. Paul said, when he was describing what they had done, that number one, they preached the gospel. In other words, they were soul winners. They went out, they knocked on doors, they passed out pamphlets, they stood at the bus station or the train station, or they did whatever they could to be with people and tried to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached the gospel to evangelize the lost and then to edify the believers. Those that got saved, they baptized them. They taught them. The Bible says, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and had taught many, and then it mentions confirming the souls and exhorting them. In other words, they stayed with them. They discipled them. They brought them along and so forth. And we should pray for our missionaries tonight that are serving God all around the world. We met some of them on the screen a few minutes ago from India. We met them from the Philippines and so on and so forth. From Singapore, pray that God would bless those missionaries, that they would be effective in doing what we're doing right here in Lancaster, California. And by the way, someone asked me one time, Brother Sitz, what kind of missionaries should we support? And I said, there's a very simple formula. Support the missionaries that are doing on the mission field what we're doing right here at home. In other words, we ought to support the missionaries that believe and act and do the way we do, okay? In other words, winning souls, discipling believers, and then planting churches. And by the way, I believe from the depth of my heart, every missionary, now they may be a medical doctor, they may be a pilot, they may be in child evangelism, they may be in other things, but every missionary ought to be involved in a local church. In other words, they ought to be involved with somebody that is planting a church on the mission field. And the ultimate aim of mission is to leave indigenous churches wherever the missionaries are ministering. In conclusion, let me say just a couple of things, okay? Number one, we have approximately 250 missionaries. You will see them on the list in just a minute as you look at your list. By the way, why don't you get your prayer list out right now, okay? Get your prayer list out, and if I can find mine, I'll get mine out, okay? Usually I can't, but fortunately this time I did. Look on the back page, okay? Missionaries. Now what I want you to do is look on the back page, or next to the back page, okay? But on the back page, I want you to notice, sent from LBC. In other words, we have 22 missionary families that we are their sending church. Let me give you just a little exhortation, okay? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you just put a circle around those missionaries and then every day of the week pray for three of those missionaries? Okay, you say, Brother, Sister, there's 22. Okay, one day pray for four, okay? I'm not as bad in math as you thought I was, okay? Okay. So wouldn't it be good just to pray? Oh, Monday, I'm going to pray for these three. Tuesday, I'm going to pray for these. And then let me encourage you. Why don't you take your missionary list? Now, you don't do that now, but when you get home tonight or sometime. And by the way, not because I preached it, but it would be good for you just to keep this thing that we're talking about tonight, the lessons that you've got there, and just use that as your prayer list, okay? And then why don't you choose about 14 missionaries out of this list? There's 250 of them. Choose about 14 of them, and then divide them up where you'd pray for two missionaries every day. Find out as much as you can about them. One of the things that I enjoy doing more than anything is reading prayer letters. And I get approximately 5 prayer letters every day from somewhere in the world. And I don't read them every day when I get them, but sometimes I'll take an hour or two at a time and do nothing but read prayer letters. And when I do that, I find their email address when they print it, and most of them do, and I will write the missionary back. You would never believe, you cannot believe, how thrilled they are to get a letter from somebody saying, just a note on an email saying, I prayed for you. I noticed you're baptizing people. I noticed some people got saved. I noticed you're starting a Christian school and so forth. And we're praying for you. I noticed you need an automobile. We're praying for you. I'm putting some money in there. They'll really like that, okay? Now, you won't want to do that. You give your money through your local church, okay? But help the missionaries and find out who they are. Just some practical things, okay? If we're not careful, we'll just pray like this. Dear Lord, bless the missionaries. And that's not really praying. Well, it's better than nothing, I guess, okay? But let's pray specifically for missionaries. And let's pray about their, find out about their needs and pray for them. Go out in the West Wing. I think it's out this way. I'm never sure where I am here, okay? But in the West Wing, sometimes I just sit out there between classes and I just watch those missionary pictures as they're there and just take a few minutes and pray for them and so forth. What we're going to do for the invitation tonight is this. I want you to just turn to that page. And every one of you now, just look through that list and choose two or three missionaries. And then let's spend just a few minutes tonight praying for them, okay? And while we're doing that, I want us to pray for Dr. Chappell. I'm not exactly sure what time it is, where he's at now. That's always a little bit difficult to figure out. But in essence, he's going to be preaching and teaching time after time after time. And let's pray for him and for Brother Guy as he teaches about music and so forth, and Brother Rosen, Brother Gautamas, and those from our church. And pray for the missionaries that are there with them. And let's just take a few minutes now. You've got your list out there. Put a circle around two or three of them, and let's just spend some time tonight in praying for them.